Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that's a new thing in 2022. When they're soft, we're going to call them soft. Period. So I want to read this Magic Johnson tweet from over the weekend. This is after the Lakers lost by 37 at Denver. He says, after being blown out by the Nuggets 133-96, we as Lakers fans can accept being outplayed, but we deserve more than a lack of effort and no sense of urgency. Owner, at Genie Bus, you deserve better. And he turned off replies, so you couldn't reply directly to Magic.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't know you could do it either. Okay. I retweeted and got, you know, all kinds of replies. So how do you guys, you were there, you were in Denver for this unbelievable, disappointing massacre. How do you account for it?
How do I account for it? First of all, I don't think Magic's wrong. I think LeBron has admitted as much when he apologized to the fans for the way they played in Denver. Michael, I said earlier, I would like to think that that was rock bottom. That is the bucket of cold water that these guys need to realize that if they don't change what they're doing now, then players are going to get moved or traded. Coaches and front office guys are subject to firings. I mean, that was the type of loss that gets everybody's attention.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, we got to see a better effort defensively, Mace. And Magic's right about that. You got to throw up more pride and more effort, especially on the defensive end. I am not going to crucify them or bury them yet, Mace, until Anthony Davis gets back in the fold and he gets back into rhythm. And then the true test of where this team is going to do the rest of the season is going to come out. Right now, yeah, they can do better. No question about it. That was embarrassing, and it shouldn't come to that. But I'm not burying them until I see how they are when AD gets back and what kind of attitude he comes back. Because he's been watching this and seeing how this team struggles, and he has to know that when I'm ready to go, I got to come back out here and be once nasty S.O.B., son of a basketball. I don't use these other stuff. And just be more demanding and put this team on my back and help out LeBron even more. So I'm waiting to pass judgment, final judgment, until AD gets back, Mace.
LeBron,
is that fair, Mace?
LeBron doesn't need to apologize.
No.
He apologized.
No.
LeBron is playing hard every single second.
He was apologizing for the group.
For the group.
Yeah.
Everybody else owes us an apology. The one thing we can never accept as fans is a lack of effort. And there was a lack of effort in that game.
They got dispirited. They got dispirited early. We could tell in the body language that when they walked back to the huddle during timeouts, they just looked like, oh, man, we don't know what to do. So they just
My
you
question
could tell by the body
is,
language.
Have they quit listening to Frank Vogel? Has
I don't
Frank
think so.
Vogel lost this group? If we lose by 20 tonight to Utah.
Oh, by the way, Mace, do you know where Utah ranks offensively?
I don't, off the top of my head.
Number one.
Oh. They beat Denver by 20 last night.
They're the number one offensive team in the NBA. So if the Lakers don't change what they did the other night, they're going to get boat raced. So tonight is a real test to see if they can – to answer that question you just asked. Are they still listening to the coaches? Are they still making adjustments? Are they still doing things that make it right? I'll say this. Michael, I don't think it's the coaches' fault. I don't. We saw the guy win a title 2 years ago.
Right, but if the players aren't playing for him, you got to change coaches.
But there's a difference. Are they not playing for him or are they incapable of it?
Well, you got to play for yourself.
Oh, you're saying they don't have – well, this is sort of my point from the beginning. I think
right.
It's a badly constructed roster. I don't think they have guys who are good at defense, and that's why the team can't defend. You cannot – I guess you can't – you can blame that on Rob Pelinka and the way the team is put together, and to some degree LeBron, who I'm sure signed off on the Russell Westbrook deal. But I also think at some point, if everybody just quit listening to Frank Vogel – even though he won a championship as recently as 2020, he's going to have to go. If we lose by 20 tonight.
Oh, can't happen. Not after LeBron publicly apologizes.
Yeah, and Mace, I'm with Michael to this end. Like, so let's say they do lose by 20 tonight. I don't think you can do anything until Anthony Davis comes back, can you? And he's coming back on this trip.
If guys aren't out there playing for their lives, playing for their pride, playing with effort, to me, that I've seen enough. There need to be, I mean, and they are limited in what they can do.
Yeah,
I mean, you can change coaches.
Yep.
You can try to construct some kind of trade using THT at the trade deadline, whether that be, and I think it would be really a heavy lift, Jeremy Grant from Detroit, Gary Trent from Toronto, Miles Turner from Indiana. Those are like the three names that are floating around. But it's really tough for them to construct a deal unless they throw in Kendrick Nunn, who hasn't played yet. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to make changes. They're kind of hamstrung.
Yeah, they're stuck
right
with
now.
They're stuck with what they have. If they could make a change, it'd be just something minor. Obviously, the major change is coming, and that's adding Anthony Davis back in the lineup. But AD's got to come back with the idea, the attitude, I'm freaking dominating from here on out. I'm not just fitting in. I'm dominating from here on, because LeBron will gladly take a step back and let AD do his thing.
Well, and especially on the defensive end, Michael, he's got to play like the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
A lot of people picked him to win that before he got hurt.
He's going to play center now, so he needs to be around the basket more, not floating outside with a three.
Yeah, I don't want to see three-point shots from Anthony Davis.
No, we've got enough of those. He needs to be in that paint on offense and defense, being Rudy Gobert on defense and being Jokic on offense for the Lakers.
When is he coming back? Is there no confirmation on when he's coming back?
There is no.
They said by the end of the month, maybe.
No, yeah, and I talked to McManaman the other night at the game. He's the one who reported that there's a chance he could come back during this Grammy road trip. And I said, would you be surprised if he came back early in the trip? Like, the first three games of the trip are Friday in Orlando, Sunday in Miami, Tuesday in Brooklyn.
Mm.
And McManaman said, no, I could see him coming back for one of those games. So
yeah,
this trip
has the makings of a really – I mean, it could be really, really ugly.
Oh, yeah. If they don't
take care
of
business. Brooklyn lost Durant last night, I guess, for 4 to 6 weeks. Still, Brooklyn, that's a tough spot. Philly, that's a tough – Charlotte with LaMelo is really tough. I mean, they've got a beast of a road trip.
Six games, Mace, what's acceptable to you on this road trip? 3-3 or 4-2 or what?
I mean, I think 3-3, they'd be fortunate.
Yeah.
The way they're playing right now.
Yeah. Miami.
And I think if it's worse than 3-3, I mean, if they lose badly tonight,
can't happen.
I think all bets are off.
It can't. LeBron's called out the team, apologizing for him publicly. They had to be embarrassed in that Denver situation. They know they're at home tonight at Crypto.com Arena, and they know they're playing a very tough opponent. If this doesn't get their attention, then nothing will.
And by the way, I think 3-3 is completely doable. I think they could easily win.
I mean, they got
Orlando, Charlotte, and Atlanta.
Charlotte's really good. They already beat them.
Yeah, still they're really good.
Yeah, geez. Charlotte's
24-20. LaMelo's great.
Yeah, LaVar's probably going to be in the front court when
LaVar's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll make a huge difference.
Hey, I love LaVar.
Yeah, I'll take 3-3. I think they can get there.
Oh, 3-3 would be I think that would be totally acceptable trip.
Oh yeah, definitely.
If it's worse than 3-3, I think they're on the verge of, if they don't pull out of this, I think they're on the verge of changes, like real changes.
Yeah, but you can't make any real changes. You got nothing
to
trade.
You can change your head coach.
Right, but I think that let's see how they play tonight.
Let me ask Bergman, who's a Lakers fan. You guys are limited in what you can say. What do you think, Bergman?
We could be honest.
I mean, you're being as honest as you possibly can.
As honest as you can.
Right. I mean, as much as Anthony Davis is going to make a big difference when he gets back, or at least you hope so, the rest of the team is still not going to change about who they are. The guys that can't play defense still can't play defense. That's not going to change with or without Anthony Davis.
Don't you think there's a difference, though, between can't and won't?
Yes, there is a difference between can and won't, and I think they're in the realm of won't. That's just not who they are. They're too old at this point. I mean, look, no, I hate saying the words, but Trevor Ariza is not the same guy that he was. When Carmelo Anthony comes back, he's not the same guy that he was even back in, 5 years ago.
No, Carmelo's not a defender.
No, he never has been.
Carmelo
hasn't
played in the last two games. You can't blame him.
Yeah,
no, you can't blame him,
but I'm just saying, when he's back on the floor, you can't count on Carmelo for defense.
Malik Monk is not a good defender.
He's not a good defender.
Kendrick Nunn, when he comes and plays, he's not a good defender.
Monk's not adding any defense. Monk's turned himself into a pretty good defender.
Really,
he surprised me. He could move his feet defensively.
He's been out there for all this slop.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, they're on a three-game losing streak. The first two games, they gave up way too many points in the paint. 62 in the first game, 70 in the second game. So in Denver,
that's the problem.
They shut off the paint, and Denver just made every three they took.
Yeah.
And so they've got it. You got to do both. You can't just say, all right, we're going to shut the paint off and let them shoot uncontested threes. You got to run out and run them off the line too.
But they're not losing. They're getting destroyed. I mean, that Memphis game, they rallied a little bit late, but they were way down in that game. Sacramento, they got blown out. Denver, they got destroyed. I mean, these aren't just losses. These are absolute embarrassments.
Yeah, each guy has to take personal stock in the second half of the season and say, enough of this crap. We might not be the best defensive team, but we got to be better than this.
Do you think this will serve as some kind of wake up? I'll tell you what, if they lose badly tonight.
They won't.
That would be four bad losses in a row.
Yeah, they won't. I think they had to have woken up after Denver and after LeBron goes public with his apology. That's got to get their attention.
But, you know, tonight is a night when I would look at these two teams and say, well, Utah's got more talent. Like Utah, Denver's an average team.
More talent. Well, let's look at Utah's
top
two players.
Utah has more talent.
Top to bottom? I wouldn't say that generally. I mean, they've got Ingles and they've got Bogdanovich.
And they've got Mitchell.
Of course.
And they've got Gobert.
But
they've got Clarkson off the bench.
Yeah, Clarkson's pretty good. But their top three players, Clarkson, Mitchell, Gobert versus LeBron, AD, and
Westbrook. We're talking about tonight.
Yes, we're talking about tonight.
Well, we're not going to have AD tonight.
I'm talking about when he's healthy, though. So whose top three players are better? See what I mean?
Lakers. I would take the Lakers.
There you go. Yeah. Mace and Bergman.
But to Mason's point, they've got to play like it.
Yeah.
You just can't. Utah plays. Because your name's on the back.
Yeah,
I mean,
Utah plays.
Play like it.
Yeah, Utah plays better as a team collectively, yes.
Yeah,
obviously.
I think the reaction on Twitter is just, I mean, it is.
What
it
is it? Are they giving up, Mace?
I've been saying all along, I don't think this is a team that can win a championship. I don't know how I can say it any other way.
Yeah, no, not right now. No, they've got to vastly improve to get to that level.
I just think we are going to be hamstrung by that Westbrook trade. It was the wrong trade. It was the wrong guy. He's not a fit. It doesn't make sense. Never did. I said it from the beginning. I was not a fan of the trade. I know John, he loves Westbrook. Mm-hmm. I think they would have been better off building a great cast, holding on to some guys from last year who played defense, who were in the system, who did play with intensity, and adding around that instead of taking on a $44 million salary, them over the cap.
We can still make it work, Mace. There's still a way you can make it work.
I think a lot of teams still don't want to play the Lakers in the playoffs because they're worried that LeBron and AD could take over a playoff series, yep. But none of that matters if they don't figure out how to play defense.
Hey, none of that matters if they miss the playoffs altogether.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, right now they're seventh. I mean, you only got to finish in the top 10.
Are getting blistered, man. They are getting blistered, and this is a rough road trip coming up.
So if they respond tonight, Mason, say beat Utah by 12 or 15, what will you say then?
Oh, if they win tonight, I'll take it. All right? I don't care if it's 12 or 15. If they win tonight, mm-hmm. that shows a different side of them.
What time is kickoff tonight?
Kickoff is at 5:15. Okay, so I will leave directly after the show and be at SoFi Stadium.
So you'll have time. In the fourth quarter, you'll be checking the Lakers scores.
Oh, I'll be checking the score. I mean, I'll be hopefully the game is a blowout. Hopefully the game's a blowout. By the way, a lot of people say, what's your section? Where are you sitting? I'm in section 246. I'm sorry, 246. So if you're in around that section, come say hey.
By the way, I'm changing subjects again, guys, but why are the Cowboys defending that run that Dak Prescott made at the end of the game?
Because they didn't have enough time to get –
Correct.
But they're saying
it was the right play. It was a stupid play.
Yeah, because it's like they didn't understand the umpire.
I mean, a 12-year-old knows that you can't run the ball in that scenario.
Yeah, and the umpire has to get there to down the ball before you can snap it. So it's like they forgot that rule.
Oh, Bergman just texted me. He wants to remind you. I don't know why you just didn't say it, Greg, but
yeah.
The Laker game tonight is on 11:10 a.m., and the Ram game is on 7:10. So we've got both stations going tonight. Lakers on 11:10, Rams on 7:10. So you can listen. Actually, what Michael said, when you're driving home, Mace, you can just flip it over to 11:10 and hear the end of the Laker game.
Exactly. All right, I got a question for you coming. And by the way, 877-710-ESPN, you want to ring through on Rams, you want to ring through on Lakers. I got a question about bathrooms. Coming up, a particular celebrity and bathrooms. I'll explain that coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. We are winning tonight. Say it together.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are winning tonight.
I don't know. Arizona's pretty good.
We are winning tonight, Ira. I'm nervous as hell, but we're winning.
Which team are you talking about, the Rams or Lakers?
Let's say both. But I'm full. You know, the Lakers are long season. The Rams season is one game. We're down to one game, right?
Well, the key is if you can obviously you got to affect Kyler Murray like you did last game. Just got to bunk him around and put him on the run, I guess.
Tell you what I think is the key. If I'm going to give the game, if you ask me right now who should get the game ball, the way I see the game playing out, give it to Sony Michel. I think Sony Michel is going to have a really big night. And if we can run the football in Arizona and we had success running on them the last time we played, it allows Sean McVay to call more plays in play action and put Matthew Stafford in a better position to avoid bad throws. So I think Sony Michel is going to have a big night tonight. Ireland, who's going to get the game ball?
I'm going to say Matthew Stafford, because if he doesn't, you're in big trouble. I don't think they can win if Stafford doesn't play well. So I will keep my fingers crossed and say Stafford. I think it's whichever quarterback plays better tonight probably swings the game for his team.
Yeah. Bergman, you picked the Rams.
I did pick the Rams.
Are you sort of becoming a Rams fan? I know you're a Raiders fan, but is like the Rams your second team, your NFC team?
No, I would not call them my second team. But because they're on our station and I have to hear about you guys talk about them all the time and I watch every game, you know, you get a little bit of an affinity towards them. But I think that it's going to come down to Jalen Ramsey. I think it's a secondary thing. If Jalen Ramsey isn't Jalen Ramsey, who he's been all year long, this is going to be a long, long night. So I'm giving the game ball to Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I'm worried about the whole secondary. I mean, we've lost Jordan Fuller. We've lost Taylor Rapp. We've signed Eric Weddle 2 years out of the game to play safety for us. I don't know. Sean McVay said over the weekend could play 10 snaps, could play 30 snaps. He doesn't know. Blake Countess from the practice squad. Secondary is going to be tough. They don't have DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, but the secondary is going to have a really important role in winning this thing tonight. All right, so I mentioned bathrooms and celebrities. So, came across an article. You know where you're online and you go to a website and they've got those little things that you can click on. They're trying to trick you into going into those slideshows. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got tricked into one. It is the most gorgeous and expensive celebrity mansions in recent history.
Okay.
So Mark Wahlberg, who I love, I think is a great actor, very underrated actor. His house is worth $13.95 million. Now, here's where and it's 30,000 feet, which I totally get. I'm a celebrity. I deserve 30,000 feet, square feet. Here's what I don't understand. He's got 11 bedrooms and 18 bathrooms.
Okay.
Now, who in the world needs 18 bathrooms?
Well, especially if you have 11 bedrooms.
11 bedrooms and 18. Like, how many people... it seems like a total waste of space.
Although
that many people at your house?
Michael and I both have big houses. Michael, how many bathrooms you got?
Let me think. Let's see.
I have one.
One down, two, three. I've got five.
I have four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now those are reasonable. He's got 18.
Yeah, with 11 bedrooms, right?
11 bedrooms, so you figure, 18 bathrooms.
So you figure, okay, you figure you're going to have half a bathroom downstairs. So that's 11 and a half, or should be 11 and a half. They probably got like a guest cottage out in the back, so that's 12 and a half. Yeah, what's the other 5.5 for?
Yeah, who needs that many bathrooms? It's just crazy to me. None of these other celebrity houses, by the way, have got that many bathrooms. Like even Jeff Bezos' house doesn't have that many bathrooms.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. With only 11 bedrooms, why do you need 18 bathrooms?
Now, Michael, you're living in a new house, and you've got five and a half, you said?
Five
and a half, which is normal, I think. How many square feet is your house?
You know, I asked my wife that the other day. I don't even know. Let me think. I'm guessing it's about 4,800 to 5,000.
Yeah, I've been to your house. You're about 5,000 square feet.
About 5,000. Okay, yeah.
What's yours, John?
3,300.
3,300. That's big.
What's yours, Mace?
2,400.
Jeez, you guys are right on top of each other.
Well, we usually see Mason's old house. I've never seen a smaller house than Mason's.
Smallest house ever.
The house that you did before. Well, how many square feet was that?
800.
Wow.
It's like a hotel room,
800 square
Mike.
Feet yeah. for two grown-up adult human beings and two dogs.
Here's the good news about that
place.
It's
a walk-in closet.
Right on the beach. Like walk out of Mason's backyard, yeah. You're on the sand.
Oh, okay.
But it was tiny.
So they had one bedroom. Would you have a kitchenette?
One bedroom, a kitchen, and one bathroom.
And that's it? No living room?
That is it. A small living room.
Yeah, like a table.
Basically, my house was like many square feet because the beach was right in front of me. So spent a lot of time outside. But yeah, no, it was small. We needed to get up. The beach is so expensive. It's so crazy.
Did you have a problem with sand and tracking into your house all the time?
No, we did. Well, a little bit. We had like a tub of water you stepped in before you walked into the house.
But Mace,
kind of
did you have two dogs when you were living in that place?
Yeah, we had two dogs.
So you had two people and two dogs in 800 square feet.
Yep.
You might as well live in a refrigerator box.
Yeah, we somehow found a way to do it. Somehow. I wanted to circle back to the weekend because it was great, and I think it was one of the great Wild Card Weekend has gotten to be a bigger deal.
I'm glad you brought this up. Let me ask you guys something. I can't decide if I like this Monday night game or not, or if I would have preferred three games Saturday, three games Sunday. I think I would have preferred three Saturday, three Sunday.
Really?
Monday night to me, I mean, like Sunday was such a perfect day.
Sunday was great.
Michael, wouldn't you have welcomed a game in the morning on Saturday rather than waiting till Monday night?
No, I like the fact that we got one more tonight, even though we'll be – we can see it, of course, but I like the fact that we have one more tonight. Sort of stretches the weekend out. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Why not get more days? Now, I hope if the Rams win that they put their game at Tampa on Sunday so they get
– Oh, they already did.
Oh, it is. That game's going to be Sunday?
Noon Sunday.
The winner goes to Tampa, right?
Right, at noon on Sunday.
Okay, that's good. So early game on Sunday.
Yeah.
I will take that. Michael, when do you think was the most pressure you ever felt on you? Like Matthew Stafford's dealing with crazy pressure right
now.
Yeah,
that's a great question, Mace. Most pressure I ever felt as an athlete, obviously.
Michael, can I guess?
Sure.
I think it was 88 when you guys went. I can't remember another team having to do this. So you had won the title in 87, and you guys were favored to win it again in 88. Mace, Michael's 88 Laker team went seven games in the second round against Utah, seven games against Dallas in the Western Conference Finals, and then seven games against Detroit in the Finals.
Yeah.
7-7-7. And I can't – and if I remember, Michael, until in the first two series, you got blown out in game six of both of them. So I would imagine those game sevens were fairly nerve-wracking.
Oh, no question about it. And then in the finals against Detroit, we came back down 3-2. So we had to win game six and seven at the Forum to obviously win the title. So game six, knowing that if we lose this game, we're going to lose. So, yeah, those are the most nerve-wracking.
And by the way, Mace, you made the point that it was embarrassing and how the Lakers have been getting blown out and gave to
terrible.
If I remember correctly, Michael, game six against Utah, where you guys had a chance to close them out, they beat you by 30.
Something like that.
And it wasn't close.
That's right.
And everybody thought, wow, these guys, Stockton and Malone, are too young and too athletic for Kareem and Magic and Worthy and Michael and Byron and all those dudes. And somehow those Laker teams just rallied in game seven every time.
Yeah. John, when's the most life pressure you ever had? Now, I'm not talking about when you were playing ball at Corona Del Mar. Most pressure you've ever had on you in your life.
In my life, what would that be?
You've had a charmed life. No pressure. Huh?
Well, here's how I'll answer it, because I'm going to go a little serious on you. But I know a lot of guys are going through this, so it's when you lean on your faith. Michael, you and I always talk about leaning on your faith. Mm-hmm. Lisa, when she got cancer the second time, had a seven-hour surgery. Mm. And I was sitting by myself in the hospital for 7 hours. And I thought, I didn't know if she was going to wake up. And I thought, okay, you try not to let your head go there. Because you're sitting there going, like, these doctors are really good. They're going to, you know, get you through it. But every time somebody walked in, you know, how, like, you see all the movies and all the TV shows where, like, the doctor walks in with a real serious look on your face. Like, I was paying attention to the looks on the faces of everybody, but everything worked out fine. So I have a lot of empathy and a lot of respect for people that when their spouse or one of their loved ones is in the hospital, how you got to play that waiting game.
Yeah.
And so I that's how I would answer your question. That's the most pressure I've ever felt.
Well, in retrospect, mine seems stupid.
What's yours?
Mine was when, remember when Bob Costas used to do the later show on NBC?
Yeah. 1:30 after Letterman.
I was one of three guys that auditioned to take that show over. This was when I was like the hot thing at this point. It was like 96, I think. And John, you remember I was doing the Snyder Show. I was doing.
Right.
So the deal was, it was me, Greg Kinnear, and Chris Rock. And I don't even know how I got into this category. And we all had to interview Craig Ferguson. So each of us did an interview with Craig Ferguson, who ultimately became a late night star. And they judged us based on how we interviewed Craig Ferguson. And the winner was Greg Kinnear. So I lost out on that. But the pressure that went into that, knowing it was almost like one of them beauty pageants where they ask all three of them the same question and they put them in a secret box where they can't hear anything.
Right. Well, you know what to do if that ever happens.
What?
World peace.
Yeah, world peace is easy. That's just the easy answer. Yeah,
just quote Miss South Carolina. Remember with that quote she had.
I don't think. God, I think there are some countries that don't have maps.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That was the greatest ever.
All right. Coming up next for you, John, Michael, a guy after your own heart.
Who's that?
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So, yeah, is that the where I said Juan will look at me at some point and say, are you enjoying this? Yeah. So that's what I have trouble with all of my teams. Like, I'm so emotionally invested that I'm not sure if I'm actually having fun. Like, it's fun before to psych everybody up. And if we win, it's fun after. But during the game, it is like, I am so, and Juan says, I'm so negative. I'm always expecting the worst when I'm watching a game. Like, if we're up 2 touchdowns, I'll say something like, yeah, but it's only a 2-score game. They can score, and then it's a 1-score game.
4-score.
What's that?
It's a 4-score game if you have 2 touchdowns.
Why?
Well, no, you're 2 scores away. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
you got to
score the extra point or the 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
those are scores,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, you're counting the extra point.
Yes,
I'm
the
assuming
score.
The extra points. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying. I'm like, that Niners game, we were up 17-0, and they scored the field goal because we didn't go for it on third and one. And by the way, these moments stick in my head. Didn't go for it on third and one, didn't run the football. They kicked the field goal, and I said, just watch. They get the ball first in the second half. They're going to score. Then it's a 1-score game. And sure enough, it became a tie ball game. But I'm like, it's so nerve-wracking. I'm that way with any big series, any big game, the teams I love. It's almost too much. It's almost too much.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like, I mean, you've invested a ton of money in this. It doesn't sound like you're enjoying it as much as you should.
It is. I should be having fun, right? If we win, I walk out of there. Hey, we won. That's great. And we get ready for the next one. But it's like, I am so emotionally, my
you're
Shrek
like,
says, I personalize everything.
You're kinda
like I take it personally when we don't.
That's how Jerry West was when he used to watch the Lakers.
Probably
a really good comparison.
Yeah.
Or Billy Bean of the A's. He can't even watch the games. He drives circles around the A's stadium when the A's are actually playing. Daryl Morey, same thing.
Yeah,
I was at a game with Daryl Morey. We went to that big game where Houston stormed back against the Clippers. What was that, game six that year? And I sat with Daryl Morey for that game. And Daryl, as soon as the game started, said, this is where I leave.
Yeah,
I walked out, couldn't watch
the game. Michael, I always say, and you're at the top of this list, and you and Stu and all the – every professional athlete I know, Michael, Stu, Jerry West, everybody, remembers the losses more than the wins.
Oh, yeah.
Because you always expect to win.
Yeah.
So the wins, it's like, yeah, we won the title that year. It's great. But, you know, Michael, you talk all the time about that when Byron and Magic got hurt in 89 and you got swept by Detroit, or in 91 when Worthy got hurt and you guys got beat by the Bulls. Those stay with you.
Oh, yeah.
Longer, right? I mean, you guys seem to take the losses harder than you enjoy the wins.
No question,
right?
About it. And I know exactly how Maces feels with the anxiety and the burning, and you feel like your indigestion is, and your insides are burning. That's how I am when I was watching the Warriors in the finals. I couldn't stay in my seat. I said, I'm going to go watch in the back so I can pace back and forth.
Well,
and it just eats at you because you want your son or your team to win so bad.
Mace, that's the comparison. Is not Michael when he played for the Lakers, but Michael when he's watching Clay. Because Michael's told me a million times, you can't control it.
Yeah,
right,
I have no
Mike?
Control yep. over it. Yeah,
yep. you can't do anything about it when he's out there playing these biggest games in the finals, because all you can do is watch.
To that Jerry West story, I think this is a real story. Sometimes they become apocryphal, John. So you tell me if you remember this. We were doing the Lakers golf tournament, and it was at Riv. And Jerry West, we had heard, had a hole-in-one. And when he came up to us and we were getting ready to go on the air, said, congratulations, Jerry, we heard you had a hole-in-one. He said, yeah, I missed that effing putt at 7.
Oh, yeah. There was another time I was coming out of the parking lot of that tournament. And I felt pretty good. I had a pretty good day that day. I shot 80.
Yep.
And I see Jerry West, and I go, hey, Jerry, how's it going? How'd it go out there? And he shakes his head, like, disgustingly, and he goes, 68.
What?
I was feeling great about 80.
Wow.
And he goes, 68.
Yeah. So he must have thought he shot out a 65 or a 66
right.
or something.
Yeah, because he expects, you know, he always expects the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes it different.
So I want to throw this at you, Michael. You're the perfect guy for this. Baron Davis tweeted out, and this was during the holidays, tweeted this picture out. It is a picture of a taco with ketchup on it.
Ooh.
And
ew.
I know you love ketchup.
Yes.
Ew.
He got totally roasted for this. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the idea of putting ketchup on tacos?
Boy, did you ask the right guy.
It is ground beef. I understand that. But I don't put ketchup. As much as I love it, I don't put it on mine. As long as I got guacamole. How do you say it in Spanish?
Guacamole.
No, they have. The Latinos have a certain accent to it. Guacamole? I don't know. I can't do it.
Guacamole.
But there you go. That's it. Exactly. But as long as I have that and my tomatoes and my sour cream and lettuce, I'm fine. But I could. If I had dipped it in ketchup, I could eat it that way. But I just don't.
Oh, hell.
All right, so I tell this story all the time that a couple of times, Michael and I go out to dinner a lot on the road, and one time we were in San Antonio, we're at this really nice steakhouse, and they bring our steaks, and Michael says very nicely to the waiter, sir, can I have some ketchup? And the guy goes, sir, we don't serve ketchup here, and Michael goes, oh, that's okay, and he walks away, and out of his coat pocket, Michael pulls a little bottle of ketchup.
Oh.
And because, Michael, you've been come ready now, right? Because you've been told that before.
You always bring ketchup with you?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. In little packets or a little small bottle. Sure, mate. You got to be prepared like a Boy Scout.
Oh, and you put ketchup on a really good steak?
Now, here's the thing. I don't coat it. I like put it on the side. It might put a little dip in it every now and then. What's wrong with that?
If it's a great steak, it needs no sauce.
And by the way, on top of that, Mace, Michael has a red Solo cup full of wine.
Oh, yeah.
Because he always likes the wine he brings better than what they have at the restaurant.
Do you pay a corkage fee? Do you do that thing where you have to pay?
No, because they just think I got a glass in my hand, like a water or something.
You have a Solo cup?
Yeah.
And they don't recognize that you're drinking wine?
No, they recognize, but they, you know, he's a celebrity. They don't challenge him on it.
Yeah, if you act like you know what you're doing, Mace, it don't bother you.
One place we went, Mike, I can't remember where, asked if they could please pour it in a glass, and you said fine.
But, oh, yeah, I pour it in a glass, but I don't have to. But I'd save something like $40 on my bill, Mace, with that cup of wine.
Yeah, I
But some Mace, now you say you don't put anything on a steak. Some,
no,
but sometimes
it's a
steak,
great steak.
But
don't
sometimes they get a little
don't
dry, don't
it in
they?
Blue cheese. Don't give me the chimichurri. Don't give me the
I'm with
A1.
You.
Don't,
I'm with you, Mace.
But don't they
if
get a little
a great
dry?
Steak, it's a,
little,
a great steak.
With a little gravy or something. Don't they get
no,
a little dry?
No, medium rare steak. Pink in the middle. Oh, no, 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 no. It's a great steak. You need nothing, man. You need nothing on a great steak.
Medium rare? Why don't you just order it raw?
I love – John, how do you get your steak?
Medium rare.
Yeah, medium rare.
Medium well for me. It's got to have a little bit
yep.
of pink, right,
I learned
Laura?
That from the
I'm
great –
I'm with Michael Thompson.
I learned that from the great Gary Vitti. Vitti
you guys
is
took
the
away.
One who changed me from medium to medium rare.
You took away all of the flavor by making it medium well.
No, I think people have called like food cooked.
Yeah, you know.
That is, all you the stop flavors doing the people there, of color thing. That is, has nothing to do with anything.
That's right. We like
there are plenty of people of color who like their steak.
We ought to take, let's take a poll.
No, my friend gets so
Everybody
mad at me.
Gets, Payson and Greg get so uncomfortable if you bring up race.
No, I'm not. I just don't like that. I don't like when Michael does the
everything
brown
is race.
Brown and black people like our food cooked.
Well, yeah. Okay.
At least do medium.
My medium's good. Medium's I can do medium.
Fine.
But my friend, he's Mexican, actually like born in Mexico, and he gets mad at me when I do like medium or medium well. He goes, I could have taken you to McDonald's, okay? Like it's me.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, he's a steak guy, so he gets so mad when I order
my
steak.
Oh,
like
I want
that.
My steak bleeding a little bit.
Yep. Nate, so I just thought about something.
Yeah.
We're ending the show strong. Don't we go to Jump Ball next, and then because we're only on until 3:15, we roll right into Game of Games?
Yeah, Jump Ball into Game of Games. And by the way, the score in game, I actually did well while you were gone. It is Ireland 4, Mason 4, Bergman 1, and Michael Thompson 1.
Yes.
And Michael's got a chance to play today because it's Ireland's game.
Oh, so Michael, up I need next you to win. I can't have Mason take the lead on me.
And my game
coming
on
up next for you is the most electrifying segment on Mason and Ireland. It will boggle your mind how good this is. How much time, how much investment Greg Bergman puts into this. It is Jump Ball coming up next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thank you, Keyshawn. All right, so on Keyshawn's show this morning, they spent a lot of time on Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys game, which, you know, national shows tend to do. There was a lot of discussion about his job future. He was brought in to win Super Bowls, and the Cowboys had a home playoff game and blew the end of the game like we've talked about earlier in the show.
Yep.
So what should happen to Mike McCarthy?
Nothing.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to fire him.
Jerry Jones came out and said getting rid of Mike McCarthy is not on the table. Look, it was a bad play call. They still had a pretty good season. Cowboys, this is what they do in the playoffs. They choke. It's a terrible play call. Didn't make any sense. I don't think Dak executed it right. I don't think he was supposed to go so far down the field. I think he was supposed to slide after about 10 yards and call the timeout or get up and spike it. But they didn't do that. They wanted one more throw at the end zone. It was a mistake as a play call, and I think Dak screwed it up also. But I think Mike McCarthy has the job.
One of the things that may change it is that I read today that one of the teams with an opening, I think it was Denver, asked to talk to both Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn, both the offensive and the defensive coordinator. Mm. So, Michael, if one of those guys gets a job offer in another place, Jerry Jones may be forced to make a decision between, like, let's say, Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn, or Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore. And if he's forced to do that, then maybe he'll fire him. But if he's not, I don't think he will.
Didn't Dan Quinn blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, yes, he did.
But he got to the Super Bowl. The Cowboys haven't been in the Super Bowl since 1994.
Wow. Now, give him one more year. If they flame out again next year in the playoffs, then you could maybe make a change.
Yeah, I don't think there's a change coming there. I do think Kellen Moore, I think Denver's going to go offense with their head coach. They also asked permission to talk to Kevin O'Connell, who's the Rams offensive coordinator. So sounds like they'll go offense. What I would do is I would say, who would Aaron Rodgers like to play for? Like, who's Aaron Rodgers' favorite coach of all time? That's who I'm going to hire in an attempt to lure Aaron Rodgers to Denver. That's what I would do if I was ownership of the Broncos.
Do you think Aaron's got another 4 or 5 years in him like Brady?
I think he's got another 2-3 years in him. I don't know if he's got 4 or 5, but I think he's got 2 or 3. It doesn't look like he slowed down a beat.
Yeah.
All right, we got some celebrity drama. I know Ireland loves this stuff, but usually I don't put any Kardashian stuff in here.
Oh, so, no.
No oxygen.
So this is all for John Ireland, and Excellent. You can answer it to the other. Kanye has a new song out called Easy, and he talks directly about his life in it. The lines that stuck out, though, were these. Go ahead, Laura.
God sent me from that crash just so I could beat Pete Davidson's ass. And my new bad.
Should Pete Davidson be worried, Ireland?
Well, Kanye's nuts. We've determined that before on the show.
But a genius.
Says you. Him. Yeah.
Says the $1 billion he's worth.
Questionable.
I would not be worried if I was Pete Davidson. Although, like, Kim had a birthday party for one of her kids over the weekend, and she didn't invite Kanye, and Kylie snuck him in. So he might be watching over his shoulder a little bit, but I don't, because there are kids involved and they're little kids, I don't think Kanye is going to beat Pete Davidson's ass like he says in the song.
I got to ask Laura a question from a woman's standpoint.
Okay.
I don't get it. What is it with this Pete Davidson guy?
I don't know. I don't get it either.
He must be packing something. You know what I mean?
That is the word on the street, is that he's packing something.
He has BDE.
What's that?
Can't even say it.
Oh.
You know it.
He's skinny. He's malnourished. He looks like he's drugged out. But then all these hot women keep going after him.
Yeah.
He's got a particular asset.
He's got no, Mace, you said it earlier in the show. He's got a very specific set of skills.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
By the way, and that's why I don't think the relationships last for very long.
Oh.
You know, he's like Ariana Grande for 10 minutes. He's been with Kim for, you know, 3 weeks.
Didn't he date your fantasy woman, Kate?
Yep. Kate Beckinsale is like 25 years older than him.
Wow.
Yeah, he's had a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Hey, good for Pete.
All right, Laura, up to you.
Oh, it's my turn. I forgot. All right, guys. So I went on a rant about 3 days ago about guys' height. I hate when a guy lies about his height because I'm like, dude, I can clearly tell you're not 6 feet.
Well, Michael, Laura can't date any NBA players. There isn't a team in the league that tells the truth about their height.
That's true.
I know, but I can tell they're tall, Ireland. Right. Not like these guys that are like 5'6", trying to be 6 feet. Yeah. Like, bro. I know you're not. Anyways, there is a study saying that women are biologically attracted to taller guys because height is associated with the ability to protect and defend. Mm-hmm. I've dated tall guys, and let me tell you, they cannot all fight. I'm just saying. But do you guys agree with this study?
Yeah, I think so. I think women, you know, even women today who are, you know, who want to think they're equal, as they are, but still when it comes to physical stuff, they want to feel like they could be protected. Right, Laura?
Oh, yeah, that's why I like dating a tall guy, but I know that they can't.
But, Laura, is there such thing as too tall? Like, could you date a 7-foot guy? Could you date a guy Michael's height?
So
yeah,
I dated a guy that was 6'9". That's the tallest guy I've dated.
That's about how tall Michael is.
I'm 6'9".
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about would you date Rudy Gobert, 7'2"? She's thinking about it.
I don't know. Yeah.
And, Laura, how short is too short?
Yeah.
Okay, so... So I have a thing, okay? So my shortness, I've dated a guy that's 5'6", never will do it again.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
Okay.
But I have a thing. So we talked about kisses. I love the whole up and down kiss. Like, I'm short, so yeah. I want to be able to, like, be hugged from behind and you look at me and we can kiss.
Yeah.
5'6", 5'7", 5'8", you can't do that. So you got to be at least like 5'11".
So you have a height requirement, yeah.
I do.
Generally speaking, tall guys.
You're a heightist.
No.
Yeah, she is. She's a heightist.
Tall guys do better than short guys. It's just a fact.
Well, yeah.
And by the way, tall people brag about being tall. Like Taylor, who works for us, constantly bragging about, I'm six foot whatever it is. Oh, constantly.
Right.
Everything leads to I'm tall. That's what Taylor does all the time.
He's shaking his head yes, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, there you go.
So, yeah, women do like tall guys. I think that's a proven fact.
So did you guys hear Troy Aikman at the end of the Bucks-Eagles game? Go ahead and play it, Laura. So the Cowboys-Niners game was obviously on CBS, and Jim Nance and Mace's favorite, Tony Romo, were on the call. Do we have a former quarterback, Cowboy quarterback announcer controversy?
Well, no, because I don't know how Fox lost that game, but they did. They must have, because of the way they went two games, three games, one game, they must have made a deal with the network. The NFL controls all that stuff. And so they must have made a deal with the networks that normally, CBS does the AFC and Fox does the NFC. So this was must have been handed down by the NFL that Fox lost the Cowboys-Niners game.
Right.
That CBS did it. And I don't think that Joe Buck...
I bet it got the best ratings of the...
Yeah, I don't think there was anything games. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman can do about it. Because if they gave them the choice, they would have taken that game for sure. But they were assigned to Tampa Bay and Philly. So
am I the only one that's annoyed by Tony Romo?
Yes.
And
yes.
The
amount yes. Yeah, everybody else likes Tony
Romo. He just talks and talks and talks.
He got everything right. He was great.
He's just taking wild guesses. He's wrong half the time. I was watching a play yesterday. He said, now watch for the slant. And they ran a post. I mean, it's like, come on. Nobody holds him accountable for all the wrong things he says. And he talks too much. He's actually talking over Jim Nantz part of the time.
So this reminds me of the time. Remember Larry Stewart? He used to be the media columnist for the LA Times. He used to do a thing where he would have his readers rate the announcers in town like 1 through 10.
Yep.
And he would tell me that he had people actually rate Vin Scully number 10. In other words, like the worst announcer in town. Your take on Tony Romo reminds me of that. You're literally the only one who doesn't like Tony Romo. I know of no other person that doesn't like Tony Romo other than you.
There have to – wait, Laura, you're not in on Tony Romo?
I love him. As a broadcaster, I hated him as a player because I wanted to make my last name famous, and he made it famous first.
Well, there you go. But Laura, you just said you love him as a broadcaster. Mason loves him, hates him as a broadcaster. Yes,
but, I mean, there are a lot of people. I just said, what did I search? People who hate Tony Romo. Right away, Chris Russo comes up. Tony Romo over his – he says he never shuts up. He's right. Chris Russo's right. Mad Dog is correct. He never shuts up.
Chris Russo never shuts up.
But he's a talk show host.
Yeah.
That's completely different. He's supposed to be an analyst. He's not supposed to talk over the great Jim Nantz.
He's paid to talk. He's not paid not to talk.
Yeah, John Madden used to talk a lot.
Jay Gruden, not impressed with Tony Romo's in-game prognostication, talks too much. Mm. I'm not the only one that thinks this.
Jay Gruden is what you're going with. Come on.
All I did was, who hates Tony Romo? I Googled, and these are the people that are coming up.
Venice Mace will be at the top of that list soon.
Right. No, he's good, Mace. I like him.
Oh, yeah, God. Too. Shut up, Tony. Shut up. Let the game speak for itself.
All right. So I saw this on Twitter today, and I wonder what you guys think. Michael, I want to start with you on this one. What did you enjoy more as a sports fan over the weekend? The Cowboys losing a nail biter in awful fashion, or the Patriots getting blown out by the Bills?
Patriots getting blown out. I'm a big Cowboy fan. I love Dak. I love Jerry Jones. I like how they are aggressive. They go for it. They're prideful. So, you know, I like seeing Belichick because it finally settled the argument, Brady or Belichick. You see, the Belichick can't win nothing without Brady.
Yeah, it's true. I think that Brady has definitely won that battle, and he's winning the war, too.
That's right.
Although, I'll tell you what, Patriots had a real – I mean, with a rookie quarterback – had a surprisingly good season.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of upside to
Michael,
Mac Jones.
Or Mace, this is the biggest disagreement Michael Thompson and I have, okay? Mm-hmm. It's I've never understood Michael's take on this, and so I'm curious where you are.
Yep.
Let's use the Rams as an example tonight.
Okay.
Michael says he would rather have his team be blown out than lose on the last play of the game. Because if you lose on the last play of the game, it stays with you forever.
Yep.
And I think he's out of his mind. Like, if you go to this game tonight and the Rams play well and the Cardinals just play a little better, would you? So here are your two choices. Rams lose 38-3 or Rams lose 24-23 on the last play of the game. You get to pick your poison. Which one do you take?
God, I would be heartbroken at 24-23.
There you go.
Right. Would you rather have 38-0? And your team never shows up?
I mean, in the context of the game, if I'm sitting there watching a game and I don't know which way it's going to go, I'd obviously rather have the close game. But right. Looking back, I think I would rather be blown out than having
a
close.
I can't get to where you guys are on this.
It just haunts you. It haunts you more than the blow because you think about you came this close and you couldn't do it. At least when you get blown out, you can say, you know what? It just wasn't our day. You can almost accept that easier than
Greg,
losing by.
Greg, how about you?
I'm totally with Michael. By the the blowout's better because you can just say, all right, you know what? They were just that much better than us.
Yep.
They just kicked our ass up and down the field, and that's easy.
I want to play great, and if the other team plays a little greater than me, I'll live with it. I don't want to get embarrassed.
You'll blame the refs. You'll blame a stupid little call. Right. You'll blame one little thing.
Yep.
That is, if this would have happened, we would have won.
You know what?
One, you're like, they blew us out.
It's better to say that I played my butt off, and they also did versus like, damn. Damn, you guys got blown out. Look at what the Lakers have been going through,
Know why? You know why the Warriors are so haunted about 2016? Not the fact that they lost to the Cavs. They lost at home in a close game. They can't get over it. They can't get over it. It haunts you forever.
Phil Mushnick, big writer in New York. Tony Romo, eager to please, but his strengths are diminished, if not lost, because he doesn't stop talking.
But he lets you know what to expect, Ireland. I mean,
You found three people out of the entire world.
I could go
world.
On and on three and people. On.
Do you think
no one's heard of Phil Mushnick?
Phil Mushnick's a gigantic deal in New York, having lived in New York.
In really L.A., nobody knows who Phil Mushnick is.
But, Ace, don't you think they're jealous of Tony because he's kind of like the golden boy? He's good-looking. He's articulate. He's knowledgeable. He's got the total package.
He keeps talking.
Cool last name, half Mexican somewhere.
Not going to sell me on it. Not going to sell me on it. All right, coming up next is Game of Games. It is John Ireland's game today, which means I have a chance to take the lead in Game of Games. Then at 3:15, it is Rams pregame, Rams versus Cardinals to wrap up Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll have the game for you right here on 710 ESPN starting at 5:15, and we'll have the Lakers for you on AM 1110 tonight.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, a little nugget to pass along. Mike Mayock, who is the president of football operations,
vice president
of football
operations, GM of the Raiders, is gone.
Good.
And Mark Davis says that Rich Bisaccia will get an opportunity to interview for the job, but they're already asking for other people to talk to. All right, it is Game of Games time. In the month. Oh, there we go. All right, so in the month of January, the score is me 4, Ireland 4, Bergman 1, and Michael Thompson 1. Michael is here today, so he has a chance to win. Ireland, what do we got?
All right, in honor of Martin Luther King Day, happy MLK Day, everybody, I have a Martin Luther King Jr. sports quiz.
Okay.
It's multiple choice, so everybody has a chance. I'm going to have Michael go last because I think he's the favorite in this one.
Who he play for?
Who did he play for? Yeah. No. Here we go. All right. Martin Luther King was not a great athlete growing up. He did play football, baseball, and basketball as a kid, but the game he excelled at was A, chess, B, billiards, or C, Scrabble. Laura, chess, billiards, or Scrabble? A, B, or C?
Scrabble.
Okay, Greg?
Yeah, Scrabble.
Mace?
Billiards.
Michael?
Yeah, the brothers used to hang out in the pool hall, so I'm going billiards.
Mace and Michael have it right. Billiards was MLK. Yeah. Is game 1-1 for each of them. Okay, here we go. Number 2.
Laura?
Dr. King once said this about a famous athlete, quote, "He was a pilgrim that walked in the lonesome byways towards the high road of freedom. He was a sit-inner before sit-ins, a freedom rider before freedom rides," end quote. Was he talking about A, Jackie Robinson, B, Muhammad Ali, or C, Arthur Ashe? Greg, A, B, or C?
Muhammad Ali.
Okay, Mace.
Jackie Robinson.
Mike, Laura.
Robinson.
Michael.
Can't be Ash. He came along later, much later, so I'm going to go with Ali.
The answer is Jackie Robinson,
yes.
And Mason has taken the lead.
Yes.
Ooh.
All right, here we go. In 1967, when track stars John Carlos, Tommy Smith, and Lee Evans organized an Olympic protest, they had four demands. One, to have Muhammad Ali's title restored. Two, to have apartheid South Africa and Rhodesia disinvited from the Olympics. Three, to hire more African-American coaches. And four, to see IOC President Avery Brundage removed after 32 years of iron rule. Which of the following is true about MLK's reaction to these demands? A, he gave all of his support to all of the demands. B, he wanted the track stars to concentrate only on apartheid countries being disinvited. He felt four demands watered down the most important one. Or C, he supported three of the demands, but not the removal of Brundage, who he had a good relationship with from the Olympic Committee. Mace, A, B, or C?
I will say the eliminate or the firing of the IOC guy.
You'd say
Brundage.
C.
Yeah.
Okay. Laura.
I'm going with Mace. C.
Greg.
I'm going to go with B.
B, he wanted them to only concentrate on one thing. Michael, A, B, or C?
I think C. He wanted Brundage gone, right? So C.
Well, no, but not the removal of Brundage. So
oh.
I said he supported three of the demands, but he wanted to keep Brundage. You can go A. A was he gave all support to all the demands. B, only the apartheid demand. Or C, three of the four, but he wanted to keep Brundage.
C.
All of you missed it. It was A. He gave all of his support to all of the demands, claiming that you can never have too many demands. All right. Mason, 2. Laura, 1. Michael, 1. Greg, 0. The record for most points scored by one player on MLK Day in NBA history is 61. That record is held by A, Kemba Walker, B, Kobe Bryant, or C, Damian Lillard. Laura, A, B, or C?
Sorry.
Just say A, B, or C.
A.
Kemba Walker. Greg.
B.
Kobe Bryant. Mace.
Damian Lillard.
C. You're going Damian Lillard. Michael.
Yeah, I think it's C.
It is C. 2020 against the Warriors. Mace still with a one-point lead. Mason, 3. Michael, 2. Laura, 1. Greg, where are you? All right.
Not doing well.
Asleep.
The
Greg's
record
saying,
for most rebounds.
Yeah, no, he's white. That's why he's not.
The record for most rebounds on MLK Day by a single player is 26. That record is held by A, Ben Wallace, B, Dwight Howard, C, Andre Drummond. Greg, Wallace, Howard, or Drummond?
Drummond.
Mace.
Wallace.
Laura.
Wallace.
Michael, Wallace, Howard, or Drummond?
I think it's C, Drummond.
You all missed it again. It's Dwight Howard.
Damn, I almost said Howard.
Ugh. All right. Mace still with a one-point lead.
We're all bad.
All right. Here we go. This local star athlete graduated from Martin Luther King High School. Is it A, Kawhi Leonard, B, Mookie Betts, or C, Jalen Ramsey? Mace, Leonard, Betts, or Ramsey?
I will say it's Leonard.
Okay, Laura.
Leonard, even though I should have.
Okay, Greg.
I want to go. What was the other two?
Leonard, Betts, or Ramsey?
Ramsey. I need to try and get a point.
Okay, Michael, Leonard, Betts, or Ramsey?
I think it's Betts.
The correct answer is Kawhi Leonard.
Yes!
And Mason has a
2-point
lead.
I'm just happy I'm on the board.
You sure you're a brother? All right, here we go.
I'm a foreign brother.
Okay. Which of the following statements is not true about the funeral of Dr. Martin Luther King? A, the Academy Awards scheduled for the day after the funeral were postponed, so actors like Sidney Poitier, Sammy Davis Jr., Bill Cosby, and Harry Belafonte could attend the funeral in person. B, Game 2 of the Eastern Division NBA playoffs were postponed to allow Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain to attend in person. Or C, the service featured musical performances by James Brown, Charlie Parker, and then 11-year-old Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. Mace, A, B, or C?
I do not believe that music happened.
Okay, you're going C.
Yep.
Laura.
C.
Greg.
I probably should say C, but I'm going to say B.
Okay, you're going with Wilt and Bill Russell. Michael?
C.
It is C.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Mahalia Jackson, not Michael Jackson, was MLK's favorite singer. She sang at the service along with a lot of people. James Brown had a concert in Boston and did not attend. Mace, you have the lead in Game of Games with this victory. We'll do the tiebreaker just for fun. Closest without going over. If Martin Luther King were alive today.
93.
How old would he be? Michael.
Oh, 93.
Well, Michael just ruined the
93.
Game.
93.
Way to
Everybody
go, Michael.
Knows that,
well, I say 93 also.
Michael, there's a reason I was going to go last. Have you go last.
Well, I figured
you just
everybody
ruined
knew that.
The game.
Everybody
I also
knows
say
that,
93.
Though.
Yeah. Right,
Michael should lose a point for ruining the tiebreaker.
Did you know that, Mace?
No, I wouldn't have known that. Michael, you would have won had you
No, because the game was already over.
Yes, but you
it is true. The game was
everybody.
Over.
How many points did Mason have?
Mason had five, and Michael and you had three each.
I'm going to ask
Greg, by the way, took the collar.
Big old zero.
Big zero.
It's okay, Greg. That was me last week.
I'm gonna ask Sliwa some Martin Luther King's trivia on our pregame show. Think he'll get 1 out of 10 answers?
I don't know.
Sliwa's a relatively intelligent dude.
Like, I'll ask you guys. Okay. What date was King assassinated on? You guys remember? Date, the month, day, and year.
It was in 68, wasn't
right?
it?
That's, you got the year. What's the month and date?
April.
You got April.
Oh, wow. Michael.
April 4th. That's right, Bergman.
Yeah.
How about
Go,
that?
Greg. Go, Greg. You got one
See?
Point.
See, I know what I'm talking about.
What city was he in?
Yeah, you're giving these away because Sleep was
probably he was in Memphis.
And what was he there for?
A speech.
For supporting what? He was supporting a boycott of what?
The bus.
Sanitation workers.
Oh, sanitation.
Yeah, for more work, more pay.
Okay.
You guys,
so you're
going
to do that with Sliwa.
Sliwa, and I see. And also, Brad Turner, an honorary brother, will be there. So, see, he better get some.
Honorary. He's a real brother.
Exactly. He's an actual brother.
I met Brad. He's black.
That's right. So I'm going to see how much they know about King.
Okay, good. Right. Hey, so we've got the Lakers game for you. Lakers versus Utah on AM 1110. What time do you guys go on? What time's pregame happen?
6 for Allen and Michael and 7:30 for the 10.
Ireland after Denver, this is a must win, don't you think?
I'm going to say yes.
And if you're a Rams fan, we've got the game for you right here. Pre-game is coming up for you in just a couple of minutes. Travis Rogers and Kirk Morrison, if you're going to be in the stadium tonight, do like me. If it's third down for the Cardinals, get on your feet and make some noise. That's the one thing we can do to affect the game is to make some noise tonight. So do it, and let's come away with a win at SoFi Stadium.
So, Mace, what's your prediction?
Score, Mace.
Rams 31-24.
Wow, high scoring.
I will say Rams 28, Cardinals 27, and Mason wets his pants.
Yeah.
20.
Michael, what do you think?
Rams 27, Cardinals 15.
All right. So we're all taking the Rams.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. I feel good. This is a good Matthew Stafford night. Good rising to the occasion. Matthew Stafford. Sony Michel is going to be able to do something on the ground. Sean McVay is going to be able to do more play action with Matthew Stafford. Avoid those bad throws. I feel it. I think it's going to happen. I have no idea what the out time is here, Laura. What is it?
You're done.
You got now, 10 seconds.
The out time is right now. Coming up for you next is Rams pregame. Go Rams. Super Wild Card Weekend wraps up tonight at SoFi. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.